Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Don't miss your chance to win thousands of dollars in this week's special college football Stack the Cash contest on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. The more people who enter, the more money gets added to the winning jackpot. Scan the QR code on the screen, download the app, and correctly pick the outcomes of 6 games for your shot to win big. Invite your friends and raise the jackpot. It's completely free to play.
Perform at your best with M-Drive, supplement for driven dudes. Go to mdriveformen.com. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. He's our information guy, Fox Sports NFL reporter Peter Schrager, who, by the way, is on Fox NFL kickoff Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern. All right, Schrags, I'm reading the excerpts from Seth Wickersham's book this morning. Boy, Belichick takes some hits. What your takeaway on what we're going to see Sunday night? I hear people are saying Brady's going to be an emotional wreck. I don't see that at all. I think I thought Matt Stafford was nervous against Brady Sunday. I think Mac Jones could be nervous in Foxborough with Brady. What is your takeaway on the whole experience we'll see?
I think it's going to be really cool. And I thought NBC did a cool deal with the trailer with the Adele hello. But the truth of the matter is Brady wants this one. And I know folks in Brady's world, and it's like he didn't love the way things ended for them. If you remember, wild card weekend 2019, his last pass as a New England Patriot was a pick six in a playoff loss at home. And that's the last pass he's ever had in Foxborough. I think he's going to be dialed in. And yes, last week was their first loss, but Brady still looked good. And he didn't have Antonio Brown, and he didn't have some of the other guys on defense. They're expecting to have a full arsenal in this game on Sunday. I think Brady wants his last game in Foxborough, which we can assume in pencil, this is his last game, to end with a win and to not be a pick six to Logan Ryan like it was that Saturday night against Tennessee.
Oh, that's interesting. So, listen, I've seen clock management issues with Mike McCarthy twice this year. And, you know, quarterbacks in their prime, you know, Russell Wilson's in his prime, Dak's in his prime. You got to make sure you got the right coach and the right fit, right? Because these Super Bowl opportunities dry up. You know, what do you make of McCarthy, the fit in Dallas, and what we're seeing with clock management? Is it all overstated and over-opinioned by all of us?
No, it's real. Look, Peyton Manning, who spoke with McCarthy, I think the day before, goes on his Manning cast and is freaking out at the end of the first half because why are they not calling a timeout? Why are they not calling out? And then we get a 4th and 2, you're up 13, and they go for it late when it's like the field goal puts them up 7. Here's the thing. Last year, they lost a lot of games down the stretch in the beginning of the season based on decisions. Fourth quarter, fourth down, timeout stuff. It's a real concern. The other part of it is, though, do you want the guy who is studying the binder and looking at analytics at all day long and doesn't have the gut instinct? One of the reasons players like playing for John Harbaugh is he looks at this thing and says, okay, the numbers say this. I'm going to trust the numbers, but I'm going to ask the player, like, do you want to go for it? Should we go for it? I think McCarthy right now, it seems kind of inconsistent. And a lot of this stuff isn't just McCarthy. It is the special teams decisions, too. In week one, there were several that were head-scratching from Bones. And at the end of the game against the Chargers, you know, there was time just ticking away, and they won it on a 57-yard field goal, but it didn't have to be a 57-yard field goal. You probably could have got another play in. So this stuff, it's early in the season. It doesn't really bubble up, but when it's week after week after week after week, you start wondering, all right, when you put McCarthy's game management up against a Belichick, up against a Sean McVay, up against a Kyle Shanahan, are we going to be able to hang in there towards the end of these games with the way they're managing the clock? So it's a real concern, but it hasn't burned them yet.
You know, listen, last week, all these rookie quarterbacks just unraveled. You know, and I have, through the years, I've been more on, listen, set your quarterbacks up for success. Throwing Zach Wilson out against that defense and deep drops, give that kid a break. Justin Fields, bad O-line, you know, sacked 9 times. What did you make of the rookie quarterback weekend and the rookie quarterbacks as we enter week 4?
Colin, I'm writing again for foxsports.com, and it's on the app. It's called The Cheat Sheet. My whole lead this week is about the rookie quarterbacks. They're a combined 1-10 as starters thus far, and the only win was a Mac Jones win over Zach Wilson, a fellow rookie. You look at these numbers, they're atrocious. Zach Wilson has more interceptions, twice as many, in these first 3 games than he did at all of BYU last year. Trevor Lawrence has already lost 3 regular season games. He never lost any at Clemson. And Justin Fields looked completely overwhelmed yesterday or on Sunday. Here's where it comes down to it. We expect so much from these guys, and there have been quarterbacks who have come in and stepped in. The Mark Sanchez, the Russell Wilson, the Andrew Luck. Either A, those guys had some help around them, a Reggie Wayne or a Ray Lewis for Joe Flacco, or in Mark Sanchez's case, which he's been on your show and talked about, an NFL team already full of pros. But we can't expect these guys to just do it. And yet, because of the salary cap, you want to get as much as you can out of these rookies in the rookie that you possibly can.
Yeah.
That's why you see them get thrown in. That's why you see teams cut bait after 3 years and say, let's just draft another one. It's a real conundrum, but we have to stop expecting instant success from every quarterback out of the gate. It's not going to happen. The NFL is really, really hard. And for the majority of these top quarterbacks, they're going to really, really bad situations.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I love Sam Darnold. I loved him at USC. I loved him his first year, year and a half with the Jets, and then it just spiraled out of control. And I do think it's fair to say he can be reckless. But his accuracy, which always got criticized, certainly looks good now. His turnovers are way down. What are your sources saying about Darnold and the fit in Carolina? I don't know. You can't make a decision if it's long-term. But, boy, Matt Rhule was just gushing over him last week.
Tough. He's tough. And that's what they wanted to see. He's not a fragile guy, which was kind of the, not physically, just mentally, all the stuff in New York. You're realizing it was more nurture than nature with Sam Darnold in New York, that maybe no quarterback was going to have success in the situation that he was in. And in Carolina, when he ran for that second touchdown, he ran for a second one. They put him up 24-9. His helmet flew off. You could see the entire team descend upon him and be like, yeah, that's our guy. Here's what they've got going right now. They have a schedule that they will not be back on primetime until like week 15 or 16. They don't play another big team until like November or December. They have the Cowboys this week, and they've got them on 10 days rest, and McCaffrey is not there. This has to be the Darnold game. And I think a lot of eyeballs are watching, and a lot of people are skeptical, saying, well, who have they played? And that's fair. If Darnold comes out and goes into Dallas and outduels Dak Prescott without his best weapon, Christian McCaffrey, behind him, I think that is saying a lot about what they've got going on there. And I think it says a lot about Sam Darnold. They're gushing about him. They're excited about him. I don't think this is going to unravel or unwind without McCaffrey. I think they're going to show up and play well this week against Dallas. And I think Darnold might be the man for Carolina, not only this season, but for seasons moving forward.
By the way, Panthers, Cowboys, I saw a stat today that Dallas has more guys running 19 miles an hour. I know it's a dorky, wonky thing.
No, never. Ben.
But we did say week one, Joy and I talked about, they just look faster. And I'll give them credit. Last year, they not only the schemes didn't work, they look slow. I'll say this for Dallas. They're young defensively, but they're not even healthy. That's an athletic defense. That's a rangy defense. It's a real D.
Oh, they and this Parsons, you know, he went 11 overall. And after 2 weeks, we were like, he's pretty good. After 3 weeks, it's like, how did he slip to 11? This Micah Parsons is fantastic. And he plays now defensive end because of their injuries. And he has been just tremendous. So not only in this game are you getting two great offensive weapons and DJ Moore, and then, of course, CeeDee Lamb and all these guys, and there's a lot of offense. The defenses are both really young and feisty right now. Dallas's defense showed up out of nowhere, and Dan Quinn deserves credit for this. But with all those young players, it's not only Parsons, but Diggs, 97, yeah, who came out of nowhere. He was fantastic. They're young. They're feisty. Cowboys might have a defense this year, and if they do, that's their division.
All right. Check him out, Schrag's weekly cheat sheet on the Fox Sports app. You get info, players to watch, teams to watch, pop culture. Guy does it all. We absolutely love him. That's why we put him on every Wednesday. Go find it. Schrag's, great seeing you.
You're the best. I appreciate it, Colin. Chuba Hubbard this weekend, Carolina versus Dallas. That's your fantasy start. Let's go.
By the way, on your fantasy team, who's your, Joy, who's your running back?
Ugh.
Is it bad?
It's bad. It's not been great. Jonathan Taylor.
I like Jonathan Taylor, but the whole line right now is a mess.
Listen, the difference between actual football and fantasy football is two different worlds.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
For example, Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
Oh, he is your quarterback.
Not so great for me week one.
Nah, but very, very...
I'm not going to bail.
Yeah.
It's been a good choice not to do that.
Right.
So another quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, hasn't exactly had the ideal beginnings to his rookie season, but he feels like things are starting to pick up for him.
Cleaning those up, and I feel like every week I've gotten better. I definitely feel the progress. I feel like I'm seeing it really well, and I feel good about where I'm at. I'm also not expecting this thing to take a year or two until I start, you know, taking care of the ball and playing better.
By the way, they picked up tight end Dan Arnold in a trade this week from Carolina. They gave up C.J. Henderson, a very talented corner, who I think Jacksonville didn't fit there. But he got another nice piece. So we got a veteran, solid B tight end this week. So I think there have been moments where I've been blown away by some of his throws. Like he's made, in every game, I've watched all this Jag stuff. He's made a couple plays, and you're like, okay, that's what a number one pick looks like. This is a bad team.
Right.
But I will say this. Is I think his temperament's right. Like, I'm going to get there. I feel like I'm getting better. And to your point, you're just looking for growth. I've seen it with him. Like, he made one really bad throw last week. But up until that point, they led Arizona. That was a real football game, and they were moving the ball.
And yeah. then it got a little out of control towards
sideways,
the end. But
yeah.
that's Arizona's the better team, and they should be able to take advantage of that situation. He had three interceptions week one, two against Denver, and two last week. But his completion percentage has gone up. It obviously dipped against Denver, but it's now at 64.7%. And one touchdown, two interceptions last week against Arizona. They face Joe Burrow and the Bengals tomorrow night. So it's a short week for them. It's actually an interesting game.
It is. You know, this
because
is...
they're kind of... I mean, the Bengals are better right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're 2-1.
But
and
the best talent
nice
on offense.
Yes.
It could be a very interesting game.
Well, the Bengals are currently favored by 7.5.
That's a lot.
Probably,
now, again, this is I'm going to regret this. Where's the game at?
It is at Cincinnati.
All right, I'll take Cincinnati.
And 7.5?
Well, yeah, because I tend to play the numbers, not the teams, and I've been burned by that this year. I've been taking, like this week, you're going to think this is ridiculous. I think the Jets is one of the best bets on the board this week. I know. So, and I think the Giants +8 is one of the best bets on the board. Do I literally give my hard-earned cash to crappy football teams?
Yeah, I don't know that I could go that far. But I am interested in that game because they are a little more evenly matched, and I want to see Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. And look, as we were just saying, Peter Schrager was just mentioning, it's been a struggle, so you need to be a little bit patient with these teams because they are going to bad teams.
Yes.
Like, we can't put these expectations of just incredible turnarounds in the NFL. This is not college, and it's not just get it out of the concepts. It's not the NBA. Like, one player, LeBron, can change an entire organization within 2 months.
Right.
This is the NFL. There's a lot of moving parts here. There's a whole side of the ball Trevor Lawrence doesn't touch. You have to be a little patient with the development here. And at the end of the year, if you see some growth, that's a positive thing.
Yeah.
So a surprising thing that we have witnessed so far through the season is Washington's defense.
Yeah, what is going on? I can't figure it out.
Well, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Chase Young, who has not recorded a sack yet, knows that the team needs to improve.
I feel like everybody right now, we know we have to change. Something has to change. And right now, everybody's real urgent, holding each other accountable. At this point, it's no other way. It has to be every man on the roster holding each other accountable, working to one mission. That's what we're trying to be at right now.
They have allowed 30.7 points per game. That's 29th in the NFL, and 432 total yards per game. That's 31st through the first 3 weeks. They had a top five defense last year, fourth in the NFL in points per game, and second in yards per game. So they don't turn it around. It will be the third team since the 1970 NFL merger to have finished as a top five scoring and total defense the season, and then and finishing in top five categories and then dropping the year after. So, I mean, they have five players in the first round in their front seven.
Maybe they heard all offseason.
Five sacks so far.
How great they were. I don't know. I've thought about that. They were my favorite bet on the board last week, giving them like over a touchdown at Buffalo, and I thought Buffalo would win. The game wasn't even competitive for the first hour and a half. It was, and I'm like, I don't even know. Now Buffalo's very good, but it is weird when you see really good units. Right now, a prime example is Tampa's defensive front. What's happened to it? Well, if you talk to people who watch it, they'll tell you is last year it was much more aggressive. There were zero blitzes. This year, they're kind of staying in the, we're bringing our four, we're not bringing extra people, and all of a sudden they look ordinary. So it when you have a great unit and it doesn't perform, like right now, Carolina's defense is so much better than Washington's, and they're in a rebuild I mean, Washington's defense.
It's also curious because Ron Rivera had them just rolling. Like I said, they'd be the third team since the merger to have finished as a bottom five scoring in total defense this season after being top five in both categories. Like, that's a huge drop off where they are from last year. So there's something wrong to have been what they were last year. And then that's a big reason why you like them coming into this year, even with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So they face the Falcons on Sunday, and they're currently favored by 1.5, according to Fox Bet. I don't – well, we have a no Falcons betting rule on this show.
Nope, won't do it. And I like their line this week. Not interested.
Well, we got some news yesterday. Manny Pacquiao, the only eight-division world champion in boxing history and once sports pound-for-pound king, announced his time is coming to an end in the ring. 42 years old, he made the announcement yesterday. He said, "Today I'm announcing my retirement. I had never thought that this day would come as I hang up my boxing gloves. I would like to thank the whole world, especially the Filipino people, for supporting Manny Pacquiao. Goodbye, boxing. Thank you for changing my life. Because of you, I was able to inspire people all over the world."
I had great fortune to go to five or six of his fights, and he won all except the last one. No, in fact, I went to, was I at the Mayweather? I just feel very lucky. He was a really fun guy to watch.
He was an entertaining fighter, and while not a big trash talker,
no,
he was one of those fighters who was a draw because of talent and energy, and his fights were fun to watch. And he'll retire with a record of 62-8-2 with 39 knockouts, and of course he was elected senator in his home country in 2016 and still retains that position today. So he's running for president in 2022.
Wow.
He just accepted his party's nomination.
Wow.
I mean, this isn't really surprising. After watching that last fight with Ugas, it looked like it was time to walk away with dignity. Don't let this
still competitive,
get out of control.
But time to go.
No, it was still an entertaining fight, but this feels right, and he had an incredible career.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live News.
Kareem Jackson of the Denver Broncos next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he went to Alabama. He was an All-American, and the Houston Texans drafted him, and he was there for almost a decade. But when Vic Fangio got that Bronco job, one of the smart guys in the NFL said, "Get me Kareem Jackson." 3 years with the Broncos, just had a pick a couple of weeks ago against Trevor Lawrence, by the way, who we were just talking about. He's one of the top six rated safeties in the National Football League, according to Pro Football Focus. Not our first time with him. We love when he comes back. The Broncos are on fire in first place. Kareem Jackson joins us live. So, Teddy Bridgewater's an, I've heard this for years, guys that have played with him. He learns the playbook really quick, total grown-up, film room. He's just a sponge with information. When did you know, Kareem, in the preseason, that it was like, this is going to be his team for a while? Like, when did you figure that out?
I'll say when we went to Seattle. Just having a chance to be around him and to watch him day in and day out. You know, his work ethic, you know, his leadership, you know, the way he has command of the offense. I think that preseason game we went to Seattle, he did a couple of things where he kind of stepped up in the pocket and made some throws. And, you know, very impressive. But just being around him, I mean, you hear a lot about guys before you actually get a chance to play with him. But just having a chance to play with him, his leadership, I haven't seen very many other or played with very many other guys that possess that leadership trait like he does. He's been great for us in our locker room and on the field as well. So, I mean, he's been a great addition to our team.
Hey, by the way, Kareem, you guys went out and got Kyle Fuller, and then you drafted Patrick Surtain from Alabama, and corner was a little bit of a concern. That was the one part of your defense that I thought last year was vulnerable. Are you surprised how quickly that Fuller and Patrick have adapted and just really completed this defense?
Kyle, I'm not surprised at all by Kyle. You know, he's been a great player in this league for some time now. And, you know, him and Vic in this particular scheme that we play in, he has a lot of history in it. You know, he knows it inside and out. You know, he's been great for our team in our secondary room. You know, having that veteran guy there, that veteran leadership, another smart guy out on the field, you know, and he comes to work each and every day. I'm not as impressed about the things that Pat has been doing physically. What impresses me the most about Pat is, you know, early on we've asked him to do a lot and as far as our defense with him playing multiple positions. And because Darby's been out, he's been, you know, just playing the cornerback spot. But before, he was playing three different spots. And the way he's been taking in the information and applying it on the field, that's what's been impressive about him. I had a chance to watch him when he was at Bama. I thought he was one of the most polished guys that you know, came out in his class. And, you know, he's been great, you know, day in and day out. You know, I've had a chance to, you know, work a lot with him because he plays on my side, and that's the right side of the field. But, you know, I mean, he's been great. He's been doing a lot of great things. And just looking forward to, you know, just seeing him and seeing the way he'll continue to get better throughout this season.
Yeah, well, there's a reason you've lasted 12 years in the NFL. You gotta keep learning and be coachable and beyond your great physical attributes. So another Alabama player's hitting in the NFL. Now, you face Lamar this week. It's a great game. I don't know if you've heard, but he's real fast. What's the tape look like? What are you having nightmares? I mean, what's it like to face somebody with that unique skill set?
No nightmares yet. I've been playing for a while. It's actually be my first time playing against him, so kind of excited, you know. But we know the skill set that he has, you know. He's, like you said, he's real fast, you know, can make some really good throws, you know. That offense, they do some really unique things with him, you know, and where they get him out in the open field and get him in his one-on-ones, and he's making guys miss, and, you know, he's racking up a lot of yards. You know, it's definitely going to be a tremendous task for our defense this week. We're looking forward to it. We're excited. You know, I think this will be our first real test to see, you know, if we're the team that we think we are. So, I mean, we're excited about it. We look forward to it. And Sunday, you know, we have to have a great week of practice this week, and we have to go out and we have to execute in all three phases.
Now, you got an interception from Trevor Lawrence. Now, obviously, it's tougher to face a veteran quarterback who, you know, has been around the league. So what did you see from Trevor Lawrence, a rookie, one of his first starts, that impressed you, Kareem, and then maybe stuff that you and your veteran eyes were able to seize and control? The goods, the bads from, I think, a really talented kid, Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's definitely very talented. We knew going in that he could make every throw on the field. A big kid, not really, I think he's about 6'6 or something like that, has a huge arm. But like I said, we knew he could make every throw on the field. For us, we just wanted to hide our looks, you know, make him try to figure out what we were in once he hit his back foot. And for us, we knew with our front and our rush that we could possibly get to him and, you know, and make things tough for him. And that's what we try to do week to week. But he's definitely going to be one of the good ones in this league. Like I said, he can make every throw on the field. He's very smart. He made some big-time throws against us that, you know, I was pretty impressed with. So looking forward to seeing how his career unfolds and, you know, seeing him do some great things in his throughout his career.
Next to Belichick, many people that I know in the league think Vic Fangio, your head coach, is one of the, if not the second best defensive coach in the NFL. And we don't talk a lot about defensive coaches. We always talk about, you know, the Andy Reid and the Sean Payton and the Sean McVay, the offensive guys. But if I said, what's the one thing about Vic Fangio that is, I mean, you've been in this league 12 years. It's not like guys can teach you a lot. Is he special? Does he say things that you're like light bulb moments, like, wow?
He's definitely special. I think every week for me when game planning is a light bulb moment. It's just nonstop, you know, new calls, new ways for us to try to get after the quarterback, new coverages, you know, and like I said, this is my third year in this scheme, and still we're still putting in new things week to week that I haven't seen, you know, or he hasn't talked about. And so it's always exciting as a defensive player to go into the game and have multiple calls and multiple ways to try to stop the pass or to stop the run. So it's very exciting. But he's definitely special when it comes to the mental aspect of the game. You know, like I said, I haven't seen anything else like it in my 12-year career.
Great seeing you. Kareem Jackson, Denver Broncos, play the Ravens. Love watching you play. I think the roster is fantastic. Defense got the cornerback situation filled out. All right, your team meeting's going to start in 40 seconds, so I got to let you go. Good. Thanks for making time for us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Kareem Jackson, Denver Broncos. I'm telling you, that roster is good. And they nailed their first-round pick with Kyle Fuller. Like, they have that. There are stars on that team. They got, and they're all banged up at receiver, and they're still good. I think they're going to beat Baltimore. Oh, I got to talk about this. This is interesting. So we got the excerpts. We talked, Joy, about the excerpts on the Brady book, right?
Yes.
So Tom Curran, who we have on the show, he's a great reporter. He's the one Boston guy that I always bring on for New England. He's got great information. So he flew down before this game for his Boston company, and he flew down to Tampa to talk to Alex Guerrero.
Right.
And Brady's longtime trainer. It's a fascinating Q&A. And one of the things that made me laugh is, you know, he goes, Guerrero said, "You people think I do this weird stuff now. Imagine 18 years ago when I met Tom. I was like a Martian." A lot of the pliability stuff now is accepted.
Yes.
When I first started, I looked like I had, you know, three eyes and horns and nobody understood anything. So it's a pretty funny look into Guerrero. But one of the things that is interesting is the commitment Tom makes. I mean, we know this with Russell Wilson, like LeBron James. Some of these guys, you have no idea what their day's like. So he talks about, he goes, early in Tom's career, this is our 16th year together, I could see him 3 days every other week. I could come out to New England. I would treat him 6 days a month. 6 days a month turned into every day, and now it's twice a day. Twice a day. So what they do, they get up 6:30. They do a pliability stuff for an hour. Brady does practice. Practice is over. Meetings are over. He comes out. They do another hour. So twice a day, he's working with Brady. And he just talks about the commitment and how you're trying to change the body. He's got one quote. He goes, the brain and the body are very closely connected. Your brain doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know how, what's good and what's bad. It just knows what you teach it. And it's really fascinating about what they go through, the pliability, the commitment to it. It's kind of, it's sort of mind-blowing. It still doesn't explain this. Brady's face doesn't age. So we've seen this before. That's what I don't get. Like, I know he's married to a supermodel and they have lotions and creams at home that'll probably make his face and wrinkles go away.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how he looks like this at 44. He doesn't age.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's that Florida sun.
Do you think he's ever had work done?
No, I don't know.
I don't understand how you can... Have we even added the Tampa picture to this?
If you have good work done, no one should notice, right?
No kidding.
But I don't think Thomas had work done. I think he's got a nice suntan, and he does have some good lotions at home. Also helps when you're not problematic.
Well, he's not angry.
Yeah. You know, a nice family life.
He's happy.
Career.
Happy people look better
as they age. Tend to have a little more glow to you.
Yeah.
You know, he's living his best life right now.
That's a good
Sometimes
life.
That shows.
The FBI is committed to combating hate crime, seeking justice, providing assistance to victims. Go to FBI.gov/hatecrimes for more information. And for endless hot water, choose Navien tankless water heaters. 15-year warranty. Only heats water when you need it, so it never runs out. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com for Navien. Good show. See you tomorrow. It's The Herd.